This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Happy holidays, home theater nerds. Welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that's all about the sights, the sounds, the scenes, and the people. And this week, it's actually Christmas Eve, and the people I'm talking about today, my son Joe, first time on video. How you doing, Joe?
Good, I'm good.
You're like Tom. You don't like those. We've been talking, setting up for about an hour now, and then I say, how are you doing? Yep. Get the BS out of the way and let's just have some fun. So this is our annual, much to your chagrin, our annual Die Hard conversation. And as we say every year, we talk a little bit about how long we've been doing this, Joe, since you were a little kid watching Die Hard? Since, yeah, I not the podcast.
I don't know. I must have been eighth grade, maybe.
Eighth grade?
I don't know. It was my first rated R movie. It was either this or First Blood. I forget.
Which one? Both Christmas movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Both of them. I forget which one was my first one, but I think it was this.
This one?
Maybe I was 10. Yeah. I don't think so, though.
I honestly know you were young.
Yeah.
Middle school? Yeah. I know you were
young.
Maybe
not as late as eighth grade, but maybe.
So do you remember telling your friends that you've seen it and they hadn't seen it yet?
No. I don't remember that.
No?
No.
Kind of like how we were just talking a second ago about Barstool and how you got that app as a young kid. And a lot of kids, that when you got that, that was not appropriate for kids.
Still not.
But at the age that you got it, it wasn't appropriate. I was like, oh, well, because we share an iPhone. We have family iPhones. So anybody gets an app, we all get the app. And you got the app and was like, hey, all right. That was a long, great parenting on my part. So first up, actually, let me say thank you to all my patrons. Thank you to everybody on Twitter following along. Anybody new to this podcast, Joe and I have done this every year. The first year we sat down, and because this is what we do every year. We literally, Joe and I, at some point between Thanksgiving and New Year's every year for years, we've been watching Die Hard as a Christmas movie because that's where I slotted in. And we'll get to our annual question. Is it a Christmas movie, Joe?
Yep.
If you go on Twitter right now, it happens every year. It's both sides want to egg on the other side. John, my co-host, my buddy over at Brightside Chat, he doesn't think it's a Christmas movie. And when we talk about it, he doesn't want to talk about it. He just goes, I don't want to talk about it. There's actually a pretty cool YouTube video that I have linked in the show notes for, I don't know if you've seen this, Joe. I meant to show it to you before we get on. The headline is
on Twitter.
No.
It looked like a trailer. Oh,
yeah. It looks like
it was well done. It wasn't from the 80s.
No, because the movie came out in July. Actually, did you know? I think I told you this. This movie came out on my birthday. In 1988. Came out July 12th, 1988.
I think you've told me that. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Probably last year.
I didn't even know that at the time. Because when I was going to see it, it wasn't like my favorite movie at the time because I hadn't seen it yet. So, but yeah, it says the release date was actually, July 12th. So anyways, but yeah, that video, it was well made, but I don't know if it was for a re-release of it or coming out on HBO or something. Yeah, exactly. But it looks like a legit trailer, but it really isn't. Mm-hmm. So I don't take that any stock in that. But the one I have linked in the show notes is a clip from like an Entertainment Tonight show that's on in Canada. And it's two guys sitting at a table. It's very well produced. I mean, it's a real show. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is they're playing clips and there's a new Die Hard movie coming out. So they have... at the time they have Bruce Willis on the red carpet and they asked him to comment on the new Die Hard movie coming out and he makes his comment. And he's like, yep, it's on its way. But he's kind of like a, you know, real sketchy about it, doesn't really want to talk. So then they go back to the studio and these two guys, and the headline of this entire clip is Bruce Willis says that Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. Now, in this video, they never show him say it, but what they do is they talk about it. They said, he said this, mm-hmm. and then the two guys go on to argue about it, because one guy says, no, it's not a Christmas movie, and the other guy's like, yeah, it is, and he goes, I think Bruce Willis is just trying to troll people here. But then they go back and forth and argue, and the guy that's trying to say that it's not a Christmas movie is just, like, lost, because he says, well, would you call the guy that says it's a Home Alone, the Christmas movie. He goes, would you call Home Alone a Christmas movie?
Yeah.
And the guy's like, well, yeah, of course. And he goes, they're the same movie. It's like, yeah. It's the exact same movie. Mm-hmm. It's like somebody, you know, Macaulay Culkin trying to take care of the bad guys to get with his family. Bruce Willis trying to take care of the bad guys to get with his family.
Did that and the come only out thing Christmas? That
I think that did it come did. Out at Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah. But it could take place at any time of the year. They could go on a 4th of July vacation
right. And
leave the kid at home, right? And that's the biggest argument people say about Die Hard. It could happen any time during the year. Yep, but it did. Yeah. It happened on Christmas Eve. So that's our annual Christmas movie question talk that we have every year. But let's get to, we did something that's exciting that I tweeted out a lot about when we were going through, when we went to, well, that's a lot for me, Joe. When we went to it, and I meant to, I was going to talk about it the following week, but then I'm like, I figured you and I could talk about it here. And that is, we went to see Neil deGrasse Tyson, and what is it called?
An astrophysicist goes to the movies.
Yes. And he actually has a sequel to that called An Astrophysicist Goes to the Movies
2.
The sequel.
That was called 2.
No, I think it says 2, the sequel. And basically, he just breaks down a bunch of movies that he thinks,
I said, and commercials.
Yeah.
And TV.
What was the commercial that he did?
He did beer commercials for almost every segment.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Heineken on Mars. I think Bud Light they were looking at an asteroid or something coming in.
Yeah, and some of these were from other countries, so we'd never seen them. I think never seen most of them. A couple of the Bud Light ones I'd seen. Huh?
They were just old.
Yeah. Wasn't there one that was from another country that we'd never seen before? That was the
Perrier one. Or whatever.
Yeah.
The sparkling water one. That was weird.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah. Where they used space, but he went over the whole Universal opening logo and how it started and the Earth was rotating the wrong way. The clouds were in space. And the plane was the plane was in orbit. but which movie was your favorite that he broke down?
Probably The Martian.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Are you doing a professional segue there? Are we going to talk about our giveaway?
No, but I can't remember the one. Or War of the Worlds was good, too. That was actually pretty cool.
What did he say about that
one? I don't remember, but I remember being surprised about it. It was something. I don't remember what he said about it. It was 2 weeks later. We didn't take notes.
No, I know. It was, didn't it have to do with the water and the germs and stuff and everything?
Oh, he broke down the end of War of the Worlds, the end quote, and how it's different from the actual H.G. Wells quote. But I thought that there was something else about it that he broke down that I thought was funny.
Well, remember the scene where they showed the scene? Maybe this will jog your memory, because I don't remember exactly, but I remember they showed the scene where, I almost said Bruce Willis, Tom Cruise was pointing at remember he's yelling at the military?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's saying, look, and the birds. But it was something like their shields were down, and the birds were able to get to but I can't remember how he broke it down, what he said.
I think
said
the
about
whole
it.
Point was just, it might have just been the end quote that he thought that the original one was better.
Well, the yes, the that original was, one was better, and from the book, but it was basically what he did is he broke it down and said that in the movie they used God, and what Tyson had had an issue with, and not an, really issue, an issue, he's not angry about any of this, but what he's saying is H.G. Wells was not a super religious guy, so he doubted that he would have used God, so he went back and looked at the book. And he basically, the quote was longer because the quote at the end of the movie is read by Morgan Freeman, of course. And he even says that. He goes, guess, just guess who was doing this, because who does most of the voiceovers that
narrations.
So good at it, narrations. But in the quote in the book is much more scientific, but it's
a lot longer.
It's a lot longer. And what I said, and you and I said on the way home, is what's funny is as much as he's right that that's, you know, H.G. Wells would have done this and this, but we've used religion over history to explain stuff that we couldn't explain through science yet. And then what happens is science catches up and we go, okay, so that wasn't true. Going all the way back to like Greek mythology and everything, it's like we had reasons that the sun did stuff based on our mythology, religion, whatever you want to call it, and then we get science to actually explain it to us, and we revamp.
Yeah, and it was just shorter for the movie. The other quote was like a whole paragraph longer. It was gigantic.
Right,
and he was just mad about taking the credit away from science. I think, right? Not mad.
Yeah,
he was just saying like they got it right the first time. Why are we going to take science out of it?
Right,
is his whole point.
Right. And he's right, but it would have been a longer quote that everybody it see. I think the other thing is his contention was that he wanted it to play to the masses where most people understand like God and want that. And like he thought that maybe they would be picketing. And I don't think that's the case.
Remember he used the term picketing? He was just joking that no one goes the other way.
Right.
Scientists don't show up to picket the Ten Commandments and picket and say, "Not that's not real." He's like, but if you do it the other way, some religious people might show up and tell you.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. My favorite one was, what was the movie though? Close Encounters. Close Encounters? When he said that like they gave the coordinates.
That was really good. Yeah.
That was so good.
Oh, Close Encounters
of the Third Kind. Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, they gave coordinates that we made up.
That we made up.
Yeah.
So basically, latitude, longitude, and he breaks it down so good because he's like, this is so random on our planet. He's like, they gave us coordinates on where they were going to land in the movie based on our latitude and longitude, which is broken up like in both directions, you know, latitude. It's what, 160, 180 in one direction?
I think it's...
And 180 in the other direction, both above and below the equator. And then the around the Earth, the other way, it's basically 360 coordinates all the way around the Earth to get you around, right?
I don't think it goes that high like that.
Yeah. And then... I can hear you typing.
Yeah, I know.
Boom, boom, boom. But, what was I going to say? So all of this is based off of our own
grid system.
Yeah.
Our own grid system, which is, he was saying it starts on the prime meridian, which only goes through England because England had the most power and the busiest shipping lanes at the time. So they didn't want to have to keep changing times over from England to France if they kept having to do the shipping lanes.
Right. Because France wanted it to go through Paris.
Yeah.
England wanted it to go through England.
It was actually also supposed to go through Egypt.
Oh, really?
Originally. Yeah, because I learned this in a pyramid video the other day. And the pyramids are lined up at the center of landmass. Like center of mass, but like landmass of the Earth. Yeah, it's like whatever the calculation is, however they get there. That's the pyramids are at like the center of all the land. If you did the math,
that would actually make more sense for aliens.
What, where they should,
you know,
or where the pyramids are?
Aliens put the pyramids there.
I got videos on that. That's the guy that was on Rogan the other day had me down his YouTube rabbit hole.
Oh, really?
The pyramids weren't tombs. Yeah.
Oh wow! Oh, yeah. I can't wait to hear that one.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
But all of this is to say, like, he does, you know,
Dr. Tyson. Oh, it goes 0 to 90 from the equator up in both directions.
In both directions. So that gets you to the 180.
And then
okay,
0 to 90 up, and then 0 to 90 down for latitude and longitude, and then 180 around for longitude. And then they break it into 60 from there, I think. It's 90 degrees, 60 minutes, 60 seconds, which is just junk we made up, and the aliens knew that.
That's what he says. He goes, so Dr. Tyson does an amazing job at giving all this to you very succinctly, better very entertaining. much better than us, right? That's why he gets paid and you and I are
and he has a doctor
fiddling around on a podcast.
Yeah.
So he does all of that and then at the end goes, if they could figure all of that out, it would have been easier just to learn English. send a letter and be like, here, we'll meet you in New York at 2 o'clock on Sunday, right, or whatever he said. But it's like everything that they figured out is so random. How would they know all of that from space?
Yeah, he was like, there's not a grid system hovering over the Earth. Like, you can't see it.
I know.
What was the other one that was funny? That
they all were really funny.
No, I know. The one where I'm blanking on his name. He was in Interstellar. He was
Matthew McConaughey.
Oh yeah, where they broke down all the math does.
Yeah, it was the math that Jodie Foster, Matthew McConaughey in Contact.
Oh, it was Contact.
And yeah, she says, think of if in our galaxy alone there's 400 billion stars. And if in those, if one out of a million of those has a star that's equal to our sun, and if one in a million of those has a planet equal to our planet, and if one in a million of those,
she went pretty far.
Well, this is the last one. If one in a million of those has life, that would mean there's like 400 million opportunities for us just in our galaxy. And Tyson was saying that he was at the premiere for this,
doing the math in his head.
Yeah, he was doing, he goes, as soon as somebody starts doing math like that in a movie, my head starts going. That's what he's saying. But the guy, she was basically doing the equation that this scientist figured, that he's the one that came up with the equation. He was sitting two rows in front of Tyson, and Tyson's like, hey, that, are you paying attention to this? He's like, that's all wrong. And the guy looks over his shoulder back at him and goes, it's a movie.
Yeah, it was like 0.00004 or something like that. It was like a millionth of a planet.
It was almost like six zeros in the opposite direction.
A billion divided by a million, that would be 400.
A billion
or 4,000, I think.
Right, but she kept going.
Yeah,
she was like, she took 400 billion, divided it by a million, divided it by a million, one in a million, one in a million, one, and it got down to 0.00004.
It was too much.
And it was just so funny how he broke that down, because, again, the way he presents it's really good, and then he shows it on the screen, like, here's the actual number, and you're like, whoa, that's not 400 million, though. So, I highly, highly recommend checking him out, especially doing the, you know, Neil deGrasse, an astrophysicist goes to the movies. He does a bunch of different subjects.
His other ones are really good too. They seemed good. He showed the titles.
Yeah.
Reads the newspaper.
Reads the newspaper. Yeah. That's what he did the last time he was here in Worcester, he said. But hopefully they have him back to do the sequel to, Goes to the Movies. Right. But all of this, the reason Joe and I wanted to talk about this here is I have our final giveaway. And you're going to have to pay attention to the podcast, because the question is coming up later in the podcast. But I'll tell you right now what you're listening to win, and I'll hold it up to the screen. The Martian. 4K. It is opened, and it was opened to begin with. So I'll tell the story. If for people that are watching on YouTube, you already know what is special about this disc. But I had opened this movie when Rob H. and I were doing this podcast. I couldn't find my disc. I didn't even know if I had the disc. So I just bought another one, popped it open, put it in, did my review of it for Rob. And then when I was reorganizing everything, I noticed I have two of them. And this was the only one of all of the copies that I had duplicates of that was open. So Joe and I are going to Neil deGrasse Tyson. We know he's going to be talking about movies. We also knew that he loved The Martian. So I took my two copies with me to The Martian, to the show. And we had VIP passes that were supposed to be meet and greet after the fact, after the show. But because of COVID, they turned it into a Q&A after, was really good. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I actually think I preferred that over the meet and greet, to be honest. I think we got more information. But you brought a couple of his books. Mm-hmm. I brought these two discs. And we weren't sure if they were going to autograph anything or do anything afterwards because of COVID and stuff. But what they did is they said, everybody put your stuff up on the stage. He'll go back, he'll sign it, and we'll bring it back out to you. And I was like, I was the only one with the discs. Everybody else had books, and there were kids there. Everybody wanted their book signed. You gave your book, and your name wasn't in the book, so you're not sure if you got your exact book back.
I got one of my exact books back. The other one, I'm not sure.
Right, because you knew a page was folded.
Folded a page.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter. If you don't know, you don't know. It's the same book. But I had said going into this, I was like, oh, hopefully he'll sign it. And I want him to take the sleeve out and sign the Martian artwork, paper, not the plastic. And then when he took it back, they left the marker. I gave them a Sharpie to use too, but they left that behind. And I was like, oh, all right, maybe he won't sign those. And of course they come back out. And as you can see on YouTube, signed the Martian extended edition. Neil deGrasse Tyson, and he actually slid both of them out and signed them. So it's the actual sleeve that's signed. So I thought that was really cool. Cause then, and you and I talked, like, of course he probably thinks the same way. Like, you don't want to sign the plastic, cause then I could put any movie in there and it would be signed by him.
Right.
So really cool. But that's what our giveaway is.
He didn't sign the disc, did he?
No. Oh, good.
We never opened it.
We didn't sign the discs, but it is opened, obviously, but it's a Neil deGrasse Tyson signed copy. And the other piece is he said in his show, this is his favorite movie because it was
right
scientifically
for one thing.
Right. He said they got almost everything right except for one thing. And that one thing was, and he laughed, he goes, it was the opening of the movie. The movie never would have taken place.
Right.
It was, well, why don't you tell him?
Oh yeah. The air pressure or the density or whatever, the air pressure on Mars is like a tiny fraction of what it is here. So
100th.
Was it 100th?
Yeah. It was 100th because they said 100-mile-an-hour winds would have been
a gentle breeze. Yeah. 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 It wouldn't have blown over the rocket and they wouldn't have had to leave. Basically.
Right.
And the author of the book consulted Neil deGrasse Tyson before this and said he was just going to do it because he needed the book.
Right.
Because they needed to make the story, but he consulted him on everything else.
Right.
So he was okay with it. But that's his most scientifically accurate movie, I think he said. They didn't do Interstellar. I wanted them to.
I'll bet you that's in two. Part two. Yeah, because that's that. I mean, I was glad he did The Martian.
Yeah. Because the other one,
I had the copies with me. So that was pretty cool. What was the other one? Oh, he did Star Wars. I talked about that on my other podcast. He did it very briefly, saying that the two suns is a possibility. It is possible for a planet to orbit two suns if they're close enough together. And what was the other one? There was, the entire thing that the Titanic. And him going back and forth with James Cameron. That was really good.
That was cool.
It was basically, it's when they're laying at the end of the movie and what's her name is laying on the raft and she's looking up at the stars and he knows exactly what would have been above them where they were at the time. And you can tell, and they just threw anything up there. And actually what he said is they actually threw a mirror image.
One half and then mirrored it over the line.
Instead of just getting a copy, he goes, I could have given it to him. But long story short, which was very entertaining, he bugged him for years about it and they actually ended up using his sky in the remake 3D version.
Yeah.
So James Cameron,
they
asked him for it. But he went up to him at parties. He went up to him. He tried to call him. He was bugging Cameron about this for years. And it was just like, it's a movie. And then, Cameron said, do you think if the guy was any better, I would have made more than a few billion dollars on this?
Yeah, he said this movie made $1 billion. This movie made like $1 billion. And he goes, would I have made more if I got the sky right or something?
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, yeah, you're right.
Tyson was asked like, for it. Right. Yeah, exactly. It seemed like that's how he was wrapping it up. And then he goes, what do you say to that? I can't argue with that because they made $1 billion. And he goes, and then like, I think he said like it was weeks later, right? They were working on the 3D and they called him, the anniversary edition or whatever. Yeah.
And whoever was in charge of editing it.
Yeah.
Called him.
Yeah. 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 And said, and so James Cameron would said, like,
said yeah, you have a sky to, for me to use.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's wicked funny. Highly recommend that. But that's our giveaway. The Martian autographed copy. 4K extended edition. Pay attention coming up because the question's in here somewhere. So enjoy. All right, let's get to Die Hard, the Christmas movie, part 3, our annual tradition here, our third annual sit down. And first year, let's just go over what we did in past years. First year, bad disc. Remember that?
Yep. Because
that was when the 30th anniversary first came out. 30th anniversary of Die Hard, the 4K disc came out. We threw the we waited to watch it to do the podcast, and I can't remember the scene, but it just kept like freezing.
Yeah,
and we cleaned the disc off, put it back in. It was a pain in the ass. I ended up having to buy a new one, but we got through it, obviously.
And then with one sub.
And yeah, exactly. And we found out. I found it was out right like when a
we
week.
Got two subs too.
Yeah, we had gotten two subs before, and it was funny, if you listen to that podcast, you were, like, totally honest. You weren't like, yeah, Dad, you're right, that sounded great. You were like, now, the sub that was working was right behind me. So I was like, this sounds great. I was getting all the bass. I was feeling it. I'm like, but it's that extra sub that lets everybody in the room experience it. You're like, no, I didn't think that gunshot was that great.
Yeah,
I was like, really? What's wrong with that? And it was like a week and a half later or whatever, I'm down behind my rack and I look and just one of the RCA plugs had fallen out of the connection. And I was like, the hell happened? You don't know. You know, we call them ghosts. They just come in and stop pulling your equipment apart. And I was like, oh, man. And of course, that was my first movie, my first year. And I was so embarrassed. I was like, oh, I'm supposed to be the home theater guy and I don't even know how to connect my subs. But it was fun. A learning experience. I've only been doing this for like 30 years. So, but we talked about two scenes that year. We talked about at 1 hour, 35 minutes and 40 seconds. We talked about Shoot the Glass and broke that down. Excuse me, losing my voice there. Broke that down a little bit. And it's funny, you saw my notes for the show here today, and you were like, we talk about Shoot the Glass every year. And I'm like, yeah.
Just the first year.
It's just the first year's notes, Joe. 1 hour, 56 minutes, 40 seconds. We're going to need a few more FBI guys. And I can't remember what we talked about that.
That was the explosion I said wasn't very punchy, and you said it was. Because we had no sub.
Oh, yeah. There you go. It's right.
When the building blows up.
Yeah, and I felt the roll. I felt the thunder. I felt it all. I was like, because I have the sub right behind me. It's center to the room. I'm center to the room. It was great. Not so much
I'm
for
over
you.
There.
Yeah, you're over to... Yeah, look, actually, if you watch it on YouTube, Joe is sitting in the prime seat.
Yep.
There's a sub behind him. If you look over his left shoulder, that's my diehard Nakatomi Plaza collector's edition. Yep. There you go.
For the quality.
And the diehard Laserdisc. Yeah, we don't have I don't have a second camera.
Oh, yeah,
camera
there's a Laserdisc.
The Laserdisc right there. And if you see right below that is the lightsaber.
My Lego lightsaber.
Yep.
It's not Lego Batman.
Yeah. I know. I wish I could podcast in that room every day. That's a great backdrop. this one's nice too.
Terminator arm.
Yep. Terminator arm over the left shoulder. There you go. Yep. Projector, lights, all sorts of stuff back there.
A lot of goodies.
Second year, pretty good. It was our first month using the Zapedi.
Mm-hmm.
So we spent a lot of time last year going back and forth between disc, Zapedi. And what if we... It was real, real close back then, right?
Yeah.
Like we thought, most of the time we thought the Zapedi looked better.
I think so. I don't remember.
Yeah. It was because there was a slightly more detail.
Oh, yeah. That's what the Wanna Breath Mint meant. His jacket was, you could see a little more detail and color in his jacket in the threads.
Right. At 1 hour, 29 minutes and 30 seconds, like sure. Wanna Breath Mint. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. That's exactly what it was. But yeah, you could see more detail, but that's because when I was running back then, I was running my Panasonic 820, but I was breaking it down for a projector. So you're going to take a little bit, as Rob really explained a couple of weeks ago on AV Rant, when you do that, it's going to take out some information that you just don't get back, but it's easier for the projector to handle it. So you get a better, cleaner image coming through the Zapedi. You're just getting everything and you're letting the projector do the work. But when that happens, you get some crushing and stuff, but which I had issues with, not with anymore. Diehard. Diehard looked great. Not. Yeah. What'd you say, Joe?
Not anymore.
Nope. So yeah. And the other one we talked about was, at 46 minutes and 18 seconds, Hunting McLean. I don't remember that one. I don't remember that scene exactly, what we meant by that.
I don't remember that at all.
I don't either. So this year, we had a small hiccup. The Zapedi defaulted to two-channel DTS, but that remember we started the movie, and I was like, check the audio, and we were listening. It was literally the first like minute of the movie.
Yeah.
And when the plane was landing, and it was only in two channel, but it was being upmixed to, you know, DTS Neural X, which still sounded really good.
Didn't sound bad.
No, exactly. It just, to the point that I felt like in my head, like, I'm like, I feel like I should check the audio, because I think I do on this one. And for some reason, it defaulted on the Zapedi. It just defaults to that one. But it wasn't the sound that made me check it, right? It wasn't like we were like, that sounded
awful.
No, I didn't think
it was bad. I was wondering what you were doing.
Yeah, exactly. So every other than that, what did you think this year, Joe?
It's still good.
Still a good movie. What'd you think of the image this year?
It was very good.
Very good.
Very good. Very colorful.
Very colorful. What did we notice? We noticed, like, I feel like, and I'm working on a way to do an AB, because we were talking about it as we were watching the movie, to actually be able to AB quickly between a calibrated projector and a calibrated projector with a Lumigen on it, and be able to see the difference, because it is... What I'm seeing with the colors, and like you said, and it's nice to have somebody else in there like yourself and who's seen this movie so many times. And we look at him and be like, I don't think that those popped like that. Like in the opening, when they're walking through the halls and you're looking at the sconces in Nakatomi.
Yeah, it was mostly the background stuff that we noticed.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything big. I didn't think we noticed anything huge. It was all like colors in the background.
Just way more vibrant.
Yeah.
Way more color, the lights on all the Christmas trees, And this is an older movie. So you're not getting, it's not like when we watched, I thought it was a big difference when we watched Game of Thrones, but that was a big difference, episode 8. But no, Lord of the Rings, when we watched the, because it's so well done. And that was a big difference. But in Die Hard here, it's just like all the way through the movie, and we have a couple of images that we're going to talk about in scenes coming up, but it was a marked improvement. And what's so much fun is, like, we've seen this movie so many times, and this year we were actually going to be doing commentary because we'd seen it so many times. We're like, what else is there for us to say? But then we just had so much fun watching the movie. We're like, let's just break it down again because it looked so good, and it flew by for me this year. I don't know about you.
The movie?
Yeah. Like, you know, some years we watch it. Yeah, some years we watch it and you're like, yeah, it's always good. But for some reason, I was like, oh, man, I was disappointed it was over. I wanted to watch it again. It was so good. But we've already done the opening scene, so we don't have to do that. But we did notice something this year that I'd never seen before. And at 9 minutes and 40 seconds, Pedro Martinez. And Pedro Martinez is in the movie from 1988, amazingly. And we had the discussion, like, was he even playing baseball at the time? But he wasn't.
We didn't even look it up.
Yeah, somewhere in the Dominican.
Somewhere.
But, yeah.
He's your age, I think.
Is he? So he would have been
18. 71, maybe.
71?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, so he would have been 17 years old at the time. Yeah. 16 when the movie was being made. But
yeah, he wasn't the MLB yet.
No. So they just use the name, but this is the scene when John McClane walks in and he's using that neat new computer that you can type on the screen, which in 1988, that was a big deal. But if you look on the first page where he pulls up McClane, he had to scroll to the second
page. He scrolls to the second page looking for McClane.
Looking for
Martinez Pedro.
Pedro at the top left corner of the screen says Pedro or Martinez Pedro.
Second page.
Yeah. And I just thought that was funny, especially being from Boston. He was so huge here, but that was a pretty funny scene. At 17 minutes and 52 seconds, first gunshot. Now, when I went back to put the notes together, I didn't realize that's when it dawned on me. This is the first time I've realized this, and we'll talk about it. Our very last scene that we're going to talk about relates to this. Alexander Gutunov fires the first shot of the movie and the last shot of the movie. And that could be up for debate, and we'll talk about that at the end of the breakdown. Because you and I went back and forth on it. But it is a good one.
Yeah, I need to watch it. We just watched it, and I need to watch it again.
But let's talk about this scene here.
Yeah.
I thought this one sounded really, really good. And now with two subwoofers and a Lumigen, not that that helps. What did you think of the gunshot here? I thought it was really good. Filled the room and had some good punch to it.
Yeah, it's suppressed too, right? He has a suppressor on it. First one? I think so. And I think that's why it's not loud and sharp. It's just like a thud. It's a good thud. I think I thought he had a suppressor on that.
Either way, it
doesn't sound like a super sharp gunshot, I don't think.
No, yeah, you're right. It's not so much of a bang as it is of a boom.
With the subs.
Yes, it's a good distinct sound.
Yeah.
And it literally is the first gunshot of the movie, and it is meant to shock you into the movie too, because the first time you saw this movie, you're like, oh, these two guys, he's talking Lakers basketball. And then all of a sudden he pulls out the gun and you go, boom, fills the room. Really, really nice. Wakes you up. All right, now we're having some fun. This next scene here at what's that?
I said, that's awful.
What is?
The guy gets shot in the face and we're like, now we're having fun. Just sounds awful.
Well, it kind of is.
I know.
This next one here at 31:35. I called it smoke, but we'll do it the hard way. So this is where Alan Rickman's Hans Gruber, he's trying to get Takagi to give him the passcodes. to the computer. And Takagi obviously doesn't want to do it, so he shoots him in the head, in the face. And when they pull back, obviously you get the blood on the wall and everything. But when the scene goes to Rickman standing up, Hans Gruber stands up. If you're on the left side of the screen, you can see the smoke still
center left. Yeah.
Yeah. Center left. You can, but it pans off because the camera does. And the smoke kind of floats away to the left.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And it's like, not only does that look really cool, almost has like a 3D effect to it. I mean, it's been there before, but it just looked really nice. But the other thing that dawned on me is, how many takes did that take
to get and the get the smoke that, right?
Yeah, do they keep doing that scene and like shooting something, or do they have like a little behind the scenes thing to make a puff of smoke and then now say your line?
I doubt they just keep firing off blanks. Which would those I think have a lot more smoke than normal.
Do they?
I would think. I don't know. But
yeah.
But I doubt they just keep ripping shots off. They probably have some guy with like a little
puffer
thing.
And they're like, all right. Made it so much more authentic.
I think it looked a lot more blue and gray than it did. I don't think we really noticed it before.
Right. Yeah, it kind of popped out this year for sure.
Yeah.
And you're right. You got more color with it. You got a little bit more subtlety and everything to it. But it was just, I thought that it brought a little bit more of realism to that scene. Because you know what? If that's not there, does anybody sit there and does Neil deGrasse Tyson go, where's the puff of smoke from shooting the gun?
Right. No one does.
You know, even all the like your gun experts in the world, they wouldn't be like, you know, there'd be a big puff of smoke there. You know, it's like you wouldn't care. You're just watching the movie. You'd even forget that. Oh, yeah. Guns have smoke coming out of them after you fire them. But that little and it's so nice. Check it out. 31 minutes, 35 seconds. Check it out. It's just floating there and off to the side. It's just such a little detail that I think is. One, it's fun to check out, but it's fun to think of how they did that and the painstaking detail that they went into. Like how many, like what if they like he flubbed over his lines? Like, do they say, screw the smoke, let's just do it again?
Right.
I thought it was great. Let's see. Next up, 36 minutes and 40 seconds. Sawblade. This is one where I can't remember. Do you remember, Carl Alexander Gutnoff's brother's name? Mm-hmm. He's the first one to die. Do you remember his name? I forget his name.
I don't know.
But anyways, this is their McLean's first interaction with one of the terrorists in quotations. And he turns the saw blade on. And as soon as it comes on, it's on the left side of the screen. But as Carl's brother starts following him, if you pay attention to the left side of your screen, it gets louder and louder. And then doesn't it pan towards center as you get to it, it gets loud, really pronounced. But then as the blade is stopping, it rolls to the center of the screen.
Yeah, because he's coming around the corner to it, right?
Right. Exactly.
I didn't realize how long he must have stood at that saw. Because he has and to shut it off. And he doesn't leave it on. He stands there and then shuts it off.
Right. And yeah, because those don't take that long to slow down.
No.
That would be a safety hazard if it spun that long. Shut it off. 10 minutes later. Yeah, you're right. That's a good point.
He was standing next to it for a while.
Yeah. Trying to drag him over there. Yeah. Get him to come over. The other thing is I also notice is the nice distinct tones. As Carl's brother walked through the different parts of the floor, the different rooms that weren't built yet, but some had fluorescent lighting, some had different lighting, and there were different tones as he walked through, and his gray sweatsuit was reflecting different tones as he walked through, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, I don't remember all the different rooms.
Well, they weren't really rooms. They were just framed, offices, aluminum framing. Yeah, they were offices as he was walking through.
I think there were Christmas lights set up in there, no?
Was it there Christmas not a tree lights in there? The city lights in the background? Oh, maybe, you're right.
Some Christmas decorations up there.
Yeah, you're right.
Might have been some of it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. This next one, this one's really fun. I can't believe we didn't talk about this one before, because this is a really good one. At 47 minutes and 5 seconds, the exhaust fan, I called it. But this is when we did talk about the scene last year where they fight on the roof, and we talked about the different gunshots and everything, and how you could tell the difference between the different guns is very accurate. The sound anyways. Well, this is one where they've chased them. They've chased McLean into the exhaust vent, and the shot is looking. Now the exhaust vent is on the left side of your screen. You got, Carl is up at the top of the screen, and there's a couple bad guys like in the foreground on the screen.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden a gun goes off, which is McLean's gun, because he sticks it into, apparently when you stick it into a fan, the trigger gets pulled, but he sticks it into the fan to stop the fan, because that's what we know ends up happening. But we're outside the vent. Now the gun goes off on the left side of the screen, but listen to the ricochets going off, because the bullets are coming out magically. They're banking the corner, I think.
I thought that was their gunshot shooting at him. Because they shot in at him, I thought. I didn't think his gun went off.
I thought it was his gun. I thought it was his gun because he was sticking in. Because that's the other thing. The noise comes from that side, but then the bullets hit the right side of the screen.
Right.
Which is away from where he is. So if the bad guys were shooting there, it would have, you know what I mean? The ricochets would have been on the same side. So, but that was, it was very, very distinct. And clearly two different sounds. You get the nice deep gunshots, multiple gunshots on the left, and then the ting, 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 ting on the right side, which I thought was really cool. Do you want to do this?
No, that was a good recreation of it.
Thank you. Too bad it's not stereo. I could actually move the sound to both sides. If you're listening in stereo. All right, let's see.
His name's Tony.
Tony?
Yeah.
Would you Google it?
IMDb.
Tony. So, Tony. Carl's brother, Tony? No, Tony, I thought, was the second guy that died. He said, yes, Tony's dead. He's down on the street. Oh, no, or was that Marcos?
Marco? Tony's, I went through the pictures, and the guy that he sticks the gun up to his face in the gray sweatsuit is Andreas Wisniewski, and he's Tony. Definitely butchered his name, but.
Yep, and now it's recorded for all to hear.
Yep, that's okay.
That's okay. All right. Definitely not last one. 1 hour, 4 minutes, 54 seconds, not LAPD, but he's definitely a badge. And that's when Sergeant Powell and Dwayne T. Johnson, Paul Gleason, they're chatting. I love this scene every year when we watch this. I love these scenes because they're actually pretty funny. That outside the building and everything that's going on. But I also like this for some reason. Paul Gleason jumped in my head. I forgot about Johnny B. Good, and I don't think you've seen Johnny B. Good yet.
No.
It's not a great movie, but it's a great movie. It's just fun. It's so Johnny B. Good is what the heck is his name?
Like Commando?
No, he not was in a great Breakfast movie. Club. No.
I was just coming up with a movie that's not great, but it's a good movie.
No, I'm trying to think. Anyways, not C. Thomas Howell. He was in Psych. He
Judd Nelson.
The guy. Nope. The blonde that played the intern chief. Remember the guy that
wasn't
came
that
in and played
Thomas
the chief?
Howell?
No, that wasn't C. Thomas Howell.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Oh.
Look up Johnny B. Good while I talk, and you'll pull it up.
I'm
so anyways, so Johnny B. Good, it's like Paul Gleason's playing the same role. He's playing Coach Wayne, I believe it is. You could tell me better. But he's playing Coach Wayne, which is the cranky old guy that thinks he knows everything. And those movies came out at the exact same time. Johnny B. Good came
Anthony
out.
Anthony Michael
in,
Hall.
There you go. I knew it was multiple names. more than two. Anthony Michael Hall, he plays this great football quarterback, and he basically is going around being recruited, and Robert Downey Jr. is his best friend too.
Oh.
And they're really young. They're high school kids. But it's a fun movie. I watched that one multiple times growing up. It was in the 80s, so when I was a young adult. But anyways, so this scene here at 1 hour, 4 minutes and 54 seconds, the blue lights. And you and I were I pointed out to you is that, yeah, you've got the red lights flashing by. You got a blue light flashing by, but you see the hard red go over their face, right? Mm-hmm. It's like not a laser beam, but like a flashlight size. Mm-hmm. But there's a blue haze that flashes over the screen. Like the whole screen turns into a blue, similar to, if you watch it on YouTube, the light over Joe's head coming from the projector. It almost looks
there's
like.
There's a reason our LEDs aren't blue.
Yes, exactly. But I thought it was really nice, very subtle, but mm-hmm. it gave that real effect of like being out there, and you know, the black levels are really nice, but then all of a sudden the whole screen gets washed in blue, and but it's very subtle, really, really cool. No pun intended. Uh-huh. Blue, cool.
Yeah, I saw
that. All right, dad jokes about. A few more scenes here, and 1 hour, 12 minutes, 54 seconds, sitting ducks. This one isn't much about home theater, but you and I just, we laughed about this. So Dwayne is arguing, this is
laugh about when it every year.
Huh?
I said, laugh about it every year.
I know. But I like but this year we actually talked about the idea of like, so Dwayne is supposed to be in charge, right? You have SWAT guy standing next to him on the headset, and he's mm-hmm. like telling him to go in and do this. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Well, you were laughing at that, how the SWAT guy has to say everything twice, and everyone's arguing that's in control.
Right.
I was laughing at when the SWAT guys get to the glass doors with all the glass windows that they try and pick a lock and then cut the metal instead of breaking the glass and just walking in.
Right. Well, at first you think like, okay, so
torch.
They don't want to. I know, you're right. Because and here's the thing. If you're approaching the building, you want to try to do it quietly. Maybe they're not right there, right? And then you're like, "All right, we'll come up, we'll try to pick the lock and we'll sneak in the door." When that fails, you go to a blowtorch, like to your point, like you're like, I got a backpack.
Yeah.
It like cut it. And he has trouble.
Yeah.
Like how good is your,
he has trouble melting the aluminum lock on the frame of the glass door.
Right. And then they start shooting at him and the glass all falls. So you're like, you know, they could have just fired one round and stepped right through. Like, all right, we've got the building. We took the building really quickly.
I don't know who you're sneaking up to, because if you think they're all on the 30th floor, they're not going to hear you break the glass on the first floor. Either way.
Good point.
Yeah. And if they're there, you don't really want to waste your time clearly cutting open a glass door. Because you're going to get shot in the knees. And they did.
Oh, what about standard 2x2? They weren't.
No, they called them in a formation when they're. The because what's I don't know his name.
Standard 2x2 cover guy, formation.
The computer guy, called him.
Yeah.
Said they were running in standard 2x2 and there were just three guys just sprinting through a field.
It was four. The sorry, lead guy four. Was
there
way
were
in
four
front.
Four guys just sprinting through a field. No one was in any kind of formation. They were just
well,
running.
Well, no, what I said is if you know hockey and you know like when we or played anything. When I was coaching, that they had a nice forecheck. It was a 1-2-1 forecheck. You had the lead guy, two in the middle, and then the one slow guy
there was
behind
nothing
him.
Tactical about it. I don't even think the director gave him direction for that. They just said, just run to the building. And they all took off, and there was one guy that was too far behind just trying to catch up.
He must have been carrying the blowtorch. He's got the blowtorch
back on. Yeah, they were just running. The SWAT guys were ridiculous.
Yeah.
They all running carrying their rifle like by the stock or finger on the trigger, like just I don't know, they gave him a 2x4 to sprint with. It was weird.
2x4. I know.
They weren't holding like rifles that they're gonna need.
Right.
They were just running.
Just running. But I liked how like Dwayne is arguing with the SWAT guy. Pull him back, and the SWAT guy's like, no. And then the SWAT guy's send in the car. send in the car. Like, this is supposed to be like precision work.
Come from like 4 miles away.
Either. Downtown.
It's got to come over the bridge, through the parking lot, and then gets high centered on the stairs.
Yeah.
The 6x6 that they didn't space the wheels equally, so it got stuck.
This is a disaster. Just a disaster.
Not good.
It was so great. I mean, they're supposed to be working in precision. Oh, we love this movie, but that's just hysterical. That entire scene. Sitting ducks. Pull back. Oh, that was good. All right. 1 hour, 17 minutes, 32 seconds, pixels. So freeze frame this. This is when they go really close on the screen, and it's basically the news report on what's going on at Nakatomi. But what I really liked about this, if you freeze frame it, is you can make out each pixel very, very clearly. And Joe, you'll remember this. Remember back when we had a 1080p projector, and when I would focus my projector, I would put a white screen up.
Yeah, and I'd stand there with a piece of paper.
Yeah. This is actually a good conversation too. Back when we had an acoustically transparent screen, we had to put a piece of paper on it because the little dots would screw up the pixels. You weren't able to focus on those pixels as much because you had those little dots. Oh, you didn't know that?
No, I just remember being young and having to stand there with a piece of paper. I don't know why.
Well, I was telling you to hold the paper
something, but I didn't know why.
Well, the projector we had then didn't have I couldn't focus it remotely. I had to actually stand at the projector and focus it. So you would stand there and I would
tell you when
hold it in all
clear.
Four corners, and when do you see the lines? You'd say yes, and I'd be like, okay, we're good. And then we'd do all the corners center, and we knew we had the projector calibrated correctly, focused, and in position correctly. But when you that's at 1080, right? And you can see each pixel, and that's on a 110-inch screen, but those pixels were smaller than the ones that you see in this scene here at 1 hour, 17 minutes, and 32 seconds. They were much smaller.
Yeah.
Now, going to 4K, you can't see anything. We put a white screen up, you can't see a pixel.
Right.
Because you took those 1080 pixels, and you turned them into 4 pixels.
Right.
And you can't even see it. And it's just a cool little scene to go from SD to HD. You know, think of like, I would say HD would be taking what you see on that screen there
and you
divide that by 4. Yes. So if you pause this scene here and you see those pixels, that's
we're
probably
using
standard depth.
16 pixels to make up one of their pixels.
Pretty much. Yeah.
And to distinctly show one pixel on that screen, we're probably using 16.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. I think 16,
and if
right?
If it ever goes to 8K, we'll be using 32. No?
Is 8K divided by 2 or divided by 4 again?
8K would be doubling. You'd double the 4K.
Or you just cut them in half?
But you'd go in both directions. You'd take
so
those,
then it would
you'd
be,
take each square and quarter it.
Oh, so you're going to quarter actually, it, would be 64.
Oh, no? 64, you're right.
Wouldn't it be 64?
I think so.
If you're going to divide it by 4 again, right?
Each square
well,
would
be
8
to 4K
four.
Is 2. I don't know how they're going to divide it, but 1080 to 4K is 4. I don't know how you divide it to get to 8K. But if you're going to divide each pixel by 4, then it'd be 64, I think.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Math's not my good. You're the engineer.
I know.
I paint bumpers.
Yeah, all 64. Right. I nailed that.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll do
just
my
do
math.
It on your phone.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a pretty cool one. Pause it regardless of the size screen you have. Even if you have a 75-inch screen, 85-inch screen, 65, you probably make it out pretty good. But just imagine taking those pixels, divide them into 4. That's HD. And now take those squares and divide them into 4, and that's 4K. So that's pretty cool. All right. This next one, we can't really talk a lot about it.
Nope.
So don't talk about what's in the notes, Joe.
All right.
But this is the question. that we're talking about to win your prize. And so at 1 hour, 21 minutes, 48 seconds, I can't even give the title for it, but go to 1 hour, 21 minutes, 48 seconds. John McClane, he's on the radio talking to Al, and they're talking back and forth. And I think he's talking about his family and stuff, right?
They're both talking about their kids.
They're talking, yes. Take a look at this scene, and the first person to email me or tweet at me that you, well, you're going to have to go to this scene, but you're going to have to check out the continuity error. So if you can get a screen grab of the continuity error and tell me what the continuity error is, you will win The Martian Extended Edition autographed by Neil deGrasse Tyson. That's the question. Joe and I will talk about it very briefly without giving it away. But Joe, your thoughts? Is this an easy question?
I didn't think so. It took me a while to find it, yeah.
And I paused it and showed it, and I played it back and forth, and I showed it to you, and you were like, what? And I think you did get it after like the third or fourth time through.
No, I was looking at something else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I never saw it. You had to tell me.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
So, it's according to Joe, this is a tough one, but I think it's worth it for the prize. I mean, this is a pretty good prize. As I've said to a few listeners that, you know, have been questioning, like, what do we got this week? I told them, I don't think this exists anywhere else. Nobody else is giving this away, and I guarantee most people do not have this. I'm sure there's other copies out there. I can't be the only one that asked them to sign this. But who's giving it away, right?
Yep.
All right. That's the question. What's that? Go ahead.
Oh, I don't know if you want to cut this out. It is in Die Hard. It is known about.
Oh.
This continuity error.
No, I won't cut it out. But it is a continuity error.
But
so they can Google it?
Yeah. That's why I said cut it out. I wanted to pause is one of the continuity errors.
But here's the good thing, Joe.
On the internet is the course of the movie, Bruce Willis's undershirt goes from white to solid army green.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even talk about that.
Mix of white and green shirts.
We didn't even talk about it. Yeah. We talked about a lot of it. I'll wrap up with that.
Okay. Yeah, that's up there.
I'll wrap up with that little one.
On continuity errors for Die Hard.
Yeah. But here's the catch, though. And I did already state it. I want a screen grab of it. So you can Google it and look it up, but you still got to run home, pop in Die Hard, go there and show me exactly on your screen what it is. Because that's the thing is I'm trying to make this fun and make it like an Easter egg hunt. Like you got to run around and find this because I'm pretty happy with this prize. So I'm hoping you guys are too.
It's a really cool prize.
Yeah. We have our copy. It's on display. So give me a screen grab of your TV and what the error is. And the first person to do that will get this copy. So, all right. Our final scene, 2 hours, 5 minutes, 30 seconds, the final gunshot. Joe and I debated on it. Joe's not 100% against me, but he's saying, you say it. Why do I have to tell you what you're saying?
What I'm saying?
Yeah,
I just need to watch the scene again. I don't remember if I'm looking at the notes. I see Carl. Al, I was reading it as AI. I want to watch it again to see if he takes the last shot or not.
Here's the breakdown that I have.
You break it down.
And let little listeners, let me know, and we'll talk about it next Tuesday. At 2 hours, 5 minutes, 30 seconds, it's when Carl comes out, surprise, surprise, comes out with the tarp on him. What kind of gun does he have?
He's got an AUG. AUG. Steyr AUG. Yeah.
Okay.
It's German.
He pulls that out, and he's aiming, obviously, at McClane, his wife, Al. McClane.
The crowd.
McClane covers his wife. They go to the ground, and even as they're going to the ground, you can see Al going for his gun, which is pretty cool. But he goes for his gun, and Al gets off the first shots. And he shoots Carl multiple times in the chest. And you see Carl going like boom, boom, but he doesn't go down. And then it's like four shots, like you said. Great, great sound. And then Carl still brings up the gun. And he's about to fight. Like, he's been shot four times, and he's ready to fight. Now he's ready to fire. And then Al lets off that final shot. It's supposed to be the fatal shot. Hits him in, looks like, the top left corner, left side of his chest. Because as Carl's going down, the gun goes up. Like, he, everything falls. He's falling back. And you can hear a gunshot go off on the top left corner of your screen where Carl's gun is. And then Al doesn't have to shoot after that because Carl literally just drops right there. And if you watch that scene over, and it's like Joe said, Joe wants to see it again. I watched it again this morning, and I thought exactly what I'm saying right now. I still think it's, you can hear, it's very distinct in the top left corner of the screen. Yeah. It's pretty cool. But you and I, we can, I've never heard it that way before. Must be the Lumigen.
Right? Yeah. That.
I'm just saying that to bug Rob now, because we got that Lumigen debate going. I've never noticed that before. What's that?
Is that what he talked about the other day?
Yeah.
I saw the tweets about it. I didn't listen to AV rant.
Yeah. We're having a little fun. It's not like, I don't think my system's any better this year than it was last year. I just think that's the fun of watching these movies over and
Your
over.
Your sound system?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say the system's better.
Yeah, but
the
do you think
system.
It's
the sound system is the same as last year?
Right.
Okay.
But the thing is it's like when you watch these movies over and over, we find new things. You know, and that's what's fun about the podcast. It's like people, I say stuff like movies I've seen forever, and then people tell me other things or commentaries and stuff like we got last week. But I thought that was really cool. So check that one out. It's right at the end of the movie. Everybody knows the scene. 2 hours, 5 minutes, 30 seconds. Jump right to it. Let me know what you heard. And final thoughts are, Joe, next year, we can do one of two things. We can either do the audio commentary, like we were talking about, where we sit and we watch it, and then we'll talk about audio commentary. Or we have a year to plan this, pal. What if we did a watch along? And
why don't we
set it up?
What equipment upgrades we have, and if we need to do a new, version of the movie.
That's true.
Because I don't want to tease that we're going to do one thing, and then next year we're like, we got a new piece of equipment. We got to watch it again.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
We got a whole year
for new equipment.
I know.
Yeah, I know. You grew up in this house. Actually, you know what? The other thing that just dawned on me, Joe?
What?
I mean, we're in the same house, but because of this studio under the stairs is so small, to record a video in here wouldn't work, right? Nope. So I set you up in the theater, and I'm in the studio under the stairs, and you get the nice backdrop. I get my usual backdrop. But it just dawned on me. I'm like, Joe, someday we'll be doing this, and you'll be in your theater.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you're like, kids, everybody be quiet. I got to go record with Papa. I'm like, oh, quiet, everybody.
So will we have to AB it from my theater to your theater? Because that's just not fair.
Why? Joe?
Yours are going to be better. Well, mine's going to be this one. And then yours is going to be whatever you get with the money from this one. I have all the old equipment.
You get all my hand-me-downs.
Pretty good hand-me-downs.
Yeah, exactly. That won't be bad. You think that's a bad system?
No. I just know yours will be better.
No, that's not true. What are you trying to get Borg designed into the video there?
Oh,
where
no.
You work?
No.
You keep going up and you're showing.
No, I'm trying to stretch.
Joe, by the time you're older, I'll be retired on a fixed income, and you'll be making, your system might be better than mine.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah. Well, depends on what I charge you for my system.
I know.
But that'll be fun. That'll be fun doing this from your home theater. So someday we can dream.
Yep.
I mean, I remember the day when I was teaching you how to
not put
laser discs
in. Oh.
Not put sandwiches in the VHS tape. Not put anything
in
inside.
The Blu-ray, not Blu-ray, the DVD player.
The DVD player, yeah.
No cookies.
Don't put cookies on there. It's not a cup holder, kid. People would come over to babysit you, and you'd be showing them how to use the theater system that was part of the living room.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so next year, what do you think? I think that would be fun to do a watch along because what we did this year, we sat there and a lot of time, and I'm sure you weren't thinking this because you don't like to be recorded, but we were sitting there and we're just having fun talking, backing up the movie, doing this, and we could. And
that's what's hard about doing the podcast afterwards.
Yeah.
Is you and I talked about all this stuff while we were watching the movie.
Right.
Every time we talk about something, I'm like, oh, we probably should have saved that.
Yeah, I know. But we have fun doing it. So next year, we'll I like that idea. And we'll do a watch along and people can, I got to figure out how to do it because you can't have the audio from the movie coming through. So we might have to do it with headphones or something like that. And we can, but that wouldn't be fun either. Yeah, because I want to experience the movie. So I don't know.
What if we both get a really cool set of headphones?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we could do the. Yeah, that but it's still not the theater. It's not the theater. So, but yeah, we could do a watch along like that. And like if we rewind, we'd tell people we rewound. So we'll work it out. We have a year to figure it out. But I just think that seems like so much more fun than commentary. And commentary is great, but just for us to see here what we heard them talk about, not as dramatic. So, all right. Any final thoughts, Joe?
Nope.
Man of many words. Yep. That's my boy. Joe, thank you very much. I know this is a stressful time of year for you because of this.
Yeah.
Every time I bring it up, you
and
roll
And now
your
I
got
to compete with your other guests who I don't have any credentials compared to them.
Joe, you've heard all my guests. You actually do listen to the podcast. Mm-hmm. You like all my guests. Mm-hmm. You're my favorite guest.
I can
say that unequivocally. You are my favorite guest. I look forward to this every single year. It was obviously I couldn't wait to get you on a podcast, and I figured this is the only way to get you on a podcast. Meg loves to talk. Meg loves to come on podcasts. Meg's a performer. She loves that.
Yeah.
But to get you was very difficult. I'm so glad we did this. I'm not saying this year. I'm saying just like this entire thing. I look forward to this every year. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And it's something that, I mean, we could talk about all these scenes again next year and we'd still find something different, which I thought was kind of fun. And we're getting better at it too.
Yeah.
You think the first year we did it, we're like, it was just audio. Remember, we could a little behind the scenes here for everybody. We'd have huge gaps. What do we want to talk about next? And then I'd just cut all that. I'm like, we'd be sitting at the table here. And I'd be like, a conversation.
Because we'd have to go look stuff up and sit there. I'm sure you're going to have to cut out a lot less this time.
I'm not cutting anything out.
Oh, wow.
This is it. This is a great conversation, Joe. You're doing good. Yeah. We're doing good. We're having fun. I think the listeners will like it.
Hopefully.
They'll let me know. I'm sure.
Oh, I know. Don't have
hated
him
back. don't have him back. Do you have another son? Nope. He's all I got. He's the best. All right. That'll do it for this week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. It is Christmas Eve, after all. Not as we're recording it, but. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a great holiday weekend. I will be back on Tuesday. Questions, comments, critiques.
Concerns.
Critique Joe. And I'll see you on Twitter over the weekend. I'll see you send me emails, whatever. Have a great week. I got to get out of here. Have a great time. And actually, you know what? Tell me all the gifts you got. Home theater gifts. And we'll talk about that on Tuesday as well. Home theater gifts. We'll talk about that too. Anybody get anything good? Anybody get a Lumigen? Rob, did you get a Lumigen? All right. Have a great week, everybody. Go push play. Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.
All right. Joe and I are still here. for those of you that are tricky enough to get jump right to the end to figure out what the question is and what the prize is, Joe, do we want to tell him?
No.
Oh, you are so cruel. You want to make him listen to the whole podcast?
Yep.
All right. No, I'm not. I'm doing what Joe said. You got to go. Sorry. If you jump to the end, this is a good prize. Right, Joe?
Yep. My favorite prize.
Is it?
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. So go back to the beginning, everybody. Everybody that jumped to the end to win the prize, go back to the beginning. You'll find out what it is, and then you'll find out the question. So enjoy the podcast. I know you do, but I know people like to jump to the end now because they think they've figured me out. Right, Joe?
Yep.
And once they think they've figured... I'm a genius.
I was pretty impressed.
With what? The 18 seconds? 18 minutes? What were you impressed with?
The whoever won the other day.
Oh, Mark.
Yeah, when he jumped to the end. To get there first.
Yeah. All right, I gotta bleep that.
Why?
Because he didn't want anybody to know what he did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I that's okay. I'll just bleep you out there.
Either way, I was impressed with his.
Yeah, that was impressive.
His, I don't know.
Yeah,
ingenuity.
I don't know.
Ingenuity.
Ingenuity. There you go.
Yeah, take everything else out. I was impressed with his ingenuity.
There you go. There's another way to do it that people haven't figured out yet. I told you what it is, but nobody's figured out that way either. And that way would actually work even with this. But if nobody's figured it out, I'm going to have more giveaways coming up next year. So, hey, all right. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy the show if you've fast forwarded to the end. So, thanks for listening.